89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in details.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
And welcome, everybody. We have got a special episode today. Well, Josh has got a special episode today. He's not told me what it's about yet, so I'm quite eager to hear this. Coming from the horse's mouth straight away. Come on, Josh.
I am pumped. We're doing the Loch Ness Monster,
the
baby.
The Loch Ness Monster. Come on.
The Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
The Loch Ness Monster.
You're not going to do the whole thing in a Scottish accent, are you?
I thought about it. And then I've got a habit of accents blending into other accents.
Yeah, because it's just going to end up as a New Zealand accent or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I quite often, for some reason, end up starting in Scottish, and then it either turns Irish or it turns to Newcastle, Geordie.
Okay. So, yeah, they're so similar.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all right at accents if it's like one sentence or something, but we'll find out.
So, okay.
I'm not going to do it all the way through, but, you know, I might... Try.
You're going to try and tell some stories in a little Scottish accent, like the way I did the American accent.
Yeah, I can try. But if it is terrible...
We'll delete it and re-record.
No, keep it going. Just humour me a little bit.
Okay.
And we'll run with it.
Okay.
And if it turns into Irish or Geordie, that's fine. That's
fair
all
enough.
Good.
Right, Nessie me up, mate.
So, the Loch Ness Monster. The earliest reports... of the Loch Ness Monster date back to 6th century AD.
Sixth century.
Yeah.
Flipping heck.
I know.
That's already boggled my mind. I didn't think it was that old. I know it's been around for like over 100 years, but I mean, it's like 1,400 years.
Yeah, buddy. So it's been around a while.
1,500 years.
And the best thing about it is there's a little story here of where... It really did originate, and it comes from an Irish monk named Saint Columba.
Okay.
And he wrote about it.
Did he say, just one more thing?
Is that American?
Yeah, sorry, it's Columbo, wasn't it?
Do you know, when I was actually writing this, my mind kept saying Columbia, and it's St. Columba.
Right.
It's hard to remember.
And he said, just one more thing, I saw a monster. What? Is it yours?
Shout out to Chloe's dad, Big Mike, because he loves Columbo. He's always watching that when we go around.
He'd hate my impression.
Yeah, he'll be criticising that.
I do Italian-Americans very terribly.
So St. Columba was staying in the area with friends when they came across residents burying a man by the River Ness.
Right.
They explained the man was swimming when he was attacked by a water beast, where he was mauled and dragged underwater. That's what the resident said to the Irish monk.
And they managed to get him out?
Yes. So they got him out. He's dead. I've got my own theory there, because I think they just kind of panicked and was like, oh, it was a monster. But, but then Columba sent a friend called, I'm going to butcher this, Luigine Mokumin. That's a hard name to say. Luigine Mokumin.
Luigine Mokumin.
To swim across the river when the water beast approached him. But Columba made the sign of a cross and said, go no further. Do not touch the man. Go back at once. Not too bad. The creature stopped as if it was being pulled back by ropes and then fled. Columba and his men believed this was a miracle from God.
Well, you would do, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So that was the story. That's the first appearance and written about by this Irish monk called St. Columba.
But I'm still calling BS on the story of the dead body being taken by a water beast, because like, if it had been dragged into the water and under and gone, that was it. That's it. That'd be gone.
Yeah, yeah.
I would not be jumping in a river to chase after some bloke who's been dragged off by a water beast.
No, you wouldn't, would you?
No.
But that was my theory. I thought
you wouldn't hoik him out of the water and then start burying him on the side of the bank.
Yeah. So I thought maybe they've just stumbled across a murder, and the bloke's like, it wasn't us, it was a monster. And they're like, oh, well, we can run with this, why not?
Yeah, might save our skin.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah, go for it.
So then we skip forward. Was it 1,500 years, you said? 15,000 years?
Yeah, to the 6th century, yeah.
And then we fast forward to 1933. And this where Nessie, as we know it, Loch Ness Monster, this is where it started.
Yeah, that's more sort of the time frame that I thought it had been discovered. I didn't realise 1,400 years before that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
All the way from 6th century to this.
A common, you may not know, but was it like a common folklore for that entire 1,400 years? Or was it just like there was kind of one report of it and then it kind of fizzled out, and then again in 1933 it...
I think it was always kind of there, but no one really paid any interest. It just wasn't really a thing, you know what I mean? It's not like...
stay away from that loch. There's a monster in there.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, I think people just kind of treated it as like, it's like an old fable or whatever.
Right, okay.
It wasn't really, but it wasn't until 1933 that it started ramping up. And
yeah,
then
it raised its head again. And yeah.
Yeah. So in 1933, the first sighting, Audie McKay had a sighting where she described the creature as whale-shaped, rolling around in the loch. This was spotted while driving on the A82 on April 15th, 1933, with her husband, John. She told her story to a journalist named Alex Campbell, who was the first to use the word monster.
Oh, okay.
And that's the first article in 1933. So then you get...
I'm surprised they didn't call it a beastie. A wee beastie.
A wee beast.
It's a wee beastie in that there loch.
So I'll read you a quick little quote from the article.
Yep.
So the creature disported itself, rolling and plunging for a full minute, its body resembling that of a whale, and the water cascading and churning like a simmering cauldron. Soon, however, it disappeared in a boiling mass of foam. Both onlookers confessed that there was something uncanny about the whole thing, for they realised that there was no ordinary... denizen of the depths.
Denizen.
Because apart from its enormous size, the beast, in taking the final plunge, sent out waves that were big enough to have been caused by a passing steamer.
Fair play.
So that is a quote from the article. But that is the first kind of article in 1933 that wrapped it up. So then there's other examples of people where over the years it just started ramping up. So you've got George Spicer, also in 1933. This was only 2 months after Aldi McKay
had the
journalist interview. And George Spicer, remember that name?
George Spicer.
The story with him is, he was in his car with his wife, and they allegedly saw the beast cross the road.
Okay.
And they described it as a dragon.
Oh, right, okay. Said
it was jet black and big, long neck, flippers, and about 8 metres in length.
Right.
So they described it.
That microphone.
Every episode.
Every week.
So remember George Spicer. And then you've got Hugh Gray as well in 1933. He took a picture. We'll probably find it to attach it to the notes. He took a picture that was going around the Loch Ness and around the residence, and they all thought, oh, this is kind of genuine.
Okay.
Unfortunately for Hugh Gray, that got debunked to be an otter.
I'm not sure I will find a picture. I can definitely find a picture of an otter.
Yeah.
Here you go, everybody. Here's a picture of an otter.
Yeah. And then Arthur Grant in 1934, a few months after that. So 1933, 1934.
There was a few sightings.
But I think it all just stems from the first interview. People then started going out and looking for it.
Going
out of their way to go to Loch Ness and the River Ness to try and see this and get photos.
Well, as well, this sort of time period was like the golden period where newspapers and such didn't necessarily care if their stories were true.
Mm-hmm.
If it was sensational, they would just run the story just so they could make sales and, you know, sell their papers.
Yeah.
So anybody coming out of the Scotland, the Highlands, saying, oh, I've seen a monster in Loch Ness, papers would have been all over that. Yes, we can sell that story.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, yeah, like you say, more people would have gone looking for it.
Yeah.
More people would have claimed to have seen it.
And
because that's what people do, isn't it?
That's exactly what they do.
Yeah.
And it got super popular. Now, this guy you would have heard of. So Robert Kenneth Wilson, a London gynaecologist, took the first picture of the head and neck, which was published in the Daily Mail in 1934, April 21st.
That's that really famous picture, isn't it? The mm-hmm. one that looks like someone doing front crawl where the arm is coming right out. Well, it's obviously the head of the monster, isn't it? But
mm-hmm.
that's that really famous picture.
Yeah, and that's the first one with just the head and neck, really.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's like a fin or something at the front, isn't there? Or something that's...
And it's like black and grey.
Yeah.
I keep saying black and grey, black and white. So
black and grey is more accurate, but yeah.
It is, isn't it? I've always thought that. There's not really any white in it. So, but this is interesting. So Wilson's refusal to have his name attached to the photo led to it being known as the surgeon's photograph.
Right,
so that's
okay.
The famous picture. So
I didn't know it was... called that. I did know it was taken by some kind of doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much all I really know about his story. I know that he went there like 2 days in a row, and I think it was the second day he took the photo, and it was obviously a very sensational mm-hmm. photo. But that's all I really know about him.
Yeah, there's not much else to know, really. this, apart from the surgeon's photograph, was actually considered evidence of the Loch Ness Monster for over 60 years.
Oh, yeah, many years, yeah.
And sceptics tried to dismiss it as driftwood, elephants, otters, birds.
There's an elephant in that there, Loch.
So that carried on for over 60 years until 1994. The photo was called an elaborate hoax.
It was debunked.
Now, this is where conspiracy theory comes out.
This is
very interesting.
Okay.
So, it turned out to be a toy submarine built by Christian Sperling, who was the son-in-law to Marmaduke Wetherill, who had been previously ridiculed by the Daily Mail after he found Nessie footprints, which also turned out to be a hoax. So, listen to this, right? So they all worked together to get their own back on the Daily Mail. So they bought the submarine from Woolworths and made the head and neck out of wood putty.
Okay, yeah.
Which is kind of cool in a way.
I confess, I did know that it was a fake photo. I know that he'd already come forward and said it was a hoax, but I didn't realise it was kind of a revenge tactic to get back at the Daily Mail. That is interesting. That's cool.
Yeah. So that guy, Marmaduke Wetherill, found these footprints and went to the Daily Mail, and then everybody ridiculed him and stuff. So then this guy, son-in-law, they kind of, the family, there was a few other people involved. Yeah. All teamed up and thought, we're going to get the Daily Mail. So, I mean, they kind of done it for 60 years.
Yeah, 60 years they managed to keep it a secret. Well, not a secret, managed to keep the hoax going as though, you know, it was a genuine photo.
But that is probably the most famous photo of...
Definitely.
You know what I mean? People would have seen it. And
yeah, that is the photo of the Loch Ness Monster, really, isn't it?
So then, we've got other bits of evidence here. So we've got sonar readings in 1954. On the fishing boat Rival 3, a large object was keeping pace with the vessel at a depth of 146 metres, or 479 feet. It was detected for 800 metres before contact was lost. Kind of interesting there. So something was keeping up with the boat under the water.
Under the water as they went down and there's a lot of water in Loch Ness.
Yeah.
I've heard it said before now that Loch Ness is so big, so deep, that it could hold the entire human population.
Wow. Okay. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I should have looked that up.
Literally, yeah. I mean, nearly 8 billion people could actually fill Loch Ness.
That's very deep.
Yeah.
Oh, man, there could be... More than
it is a massive lake, you know. I've been there and seen it, and it is a massive place.
Oh, I'm actually hoping to go there for Chloe's birthday in August. We want to go to Scotland.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, I hope you do.
So, Scotland, we're coming in you.
Oh, my God. So, I can't say that.
Oh, no.
I'm leaving it in.
As I said that. You know what I mean, though. Oh, how embarrassing.
Coming to you would have been better. Yeah,
I don't know why I said it like that. Apologies, everyone. PG. But that sonar reading in 1954, it never got debunked or anything. It's still to this day, they don't know what it was that was following.
Oh, really? Okay.
Keeping up with the vessel.
I remember watching I don't know whether to say it because you might cover it later on, but there was more sonar. I remember watching on a TV series in the 90s, I think. Well, I'll let you cover that then. So
that's actually coming up fairly soon. We'll get there.
Alrighty-o.
So the Weekly Scotsman, I love that. The Weekly Scotsman, in 1958, published a photo taken by Peter McNab in 1955. So he took the picture in 55, but they didn't publish it till 58.
Okay.
Rumoured to be three trawlers travelling closely together up the lock.
Mm-hmm.
So that basically got debunked. So that was just another photo. I'm just kind of just going through some evidence that quite held up back in the day, but it
there's going to be lots of it, isn't there?
It got debunked over the years. So the Holmes video, this one's interesting because this fast forwards to 2007.
Right.
So basically between like 1958 and the early 2000s, you kind of had the evidence that was there, and then there wasn't really any new photos or anything like that. People tried, but it just there wasn't.
Ted Danson went and found the Loch Ness Monster in the 90s. I seen the film to prove it.
Yeah, was he the guy from Cheers?
Yeah. Yeah, he did a film called Loch Ness.
Welcome to the lock where everybody knows your name. That was a terrible Scottish accent. I do apologise. I've got a Scottish family and they currently live in Scotland. They're probably shaking their heads like, why? Why are you doing it? So the Holmes video, this got a little bit of fame. So Gordon Holmes videotaped what he called a jet black thing about 14 metres long, moving fast in the water. BBC Scotland reported on it, news channels, and they all suggested it could have been a seal. There's no confirmation there.
In 2007?
Yeah.
I think I remember seeing that footage. Mm-hmm. And, it kind of, all you can really see is, like, the bow wave at the front.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the rippling water. And, there's some kind of black object at the spearhead, at that bow wave. But there's no way you can sort of confirm that it is a monster, or I don't know how the hell they said it was a seal.
Well, that's what they kind of came to the conclusion of, is it was a seal. I mean, it's still debated to this day of whether...
I can imagine that it probably is, like you said, 14 metres. Yeah, that's kind of how far the water was rippling.
Yeah.
I mean, seals are pretty streamlined. You wouldn't imagine that a seal would make a 14-metre bow wave, would you?
No, you'd have to be
fairly bigger than that.
Yeah, so that one's still up in the air. But it's believed to be a seal and a hoax and everything. But
I wouldn't put it as a hoax, maybe a mistaken video, you know? Yeah, I suppose when they claim it is something and it's not that thing, then that is technically a hoax. But, I mean, if you take a picture of what you believe is the Loch Ness Monster and it turns out to be a seal, you're not hoaxing, you've just made a mistake.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's very true.
You've gone out to intentionally deceive people. Yeah, that's a hoax, but, you know, you just take a bit of video footage and go, oh, I think I've got a Loch Ness Monster there. Nah, it's a seal. Oh, my bad.
But that's actually what I love about this subject, is a lot of the evidence and things is not necessarily a hoax, but like you said, where there's so many different things where people have said it could be a seal, could be a catfish, could be this, could be that.
Yeah.
And it goes up and down. Like, some of it gets debunked and then others are just left. So, like, we actually don't know what it is. There's no scientific proof.
What do you think, sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah, so it's very up and down, which is why I love it, because it's, you know, you read one thing and you're convinced, you're like, oh, it's all fake, and then you read something else, you're like, well, there's mystery. Even scientists don't know. So... like you said, here we go. We're going to the other sonar.
Oh, is this the sonar? Yeah, I remember watching this one on the TV, so I'll let you talk us through it.
24th of August, 2011. Captain Marcus Atkinson. And I love the fact when people have captain in front of their name. It makes them sound so much more important.
Authoritative, isn't
yeah,
it?
Like if someone's like, oh, we've got a policeman here to help you, I'd be like, oh, all right, nice one. If someone's like, we've got a captain, I'd be like, yes, that's the guy
that's
I want.
That's what I want, yeah.
So Captain Marcus Atkinson photographed a sonar image of a 1.5-metre-wide object that followed his boat for 2 minutes at a depth of 75 feet.
Yeah.
There you go. Now, I think... there was rumours of it being possibly like a flipper. I think that was that's the kind of only thing I could see associated with that.
I remember watching this, possibly this particular case on TV.
Mm-hmm.
The sonar imaging, I mean, it's not great. It shows the level where the boat's at the top of the image. It shows the bottom of the lake. And then all you can really see is a blocky line about halfway down.
Mm-hmm.
And as the boat's going across the lake, the blocky line's there as well. And sometimes it disappears, sometimes it comes back, sometimes it looks a bit thinner, and sometimes a little bit thinner. And then it suddenly starts going down. It's sinking towards the bottom of the lake. And it alters its height. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Underwater?
I guess so.
And it's still tracking his boat, and then it just completely disappeared.
Yep.
Gone.
Well.
And that's how I remember it happening anyway. And they weren't sure what it was on the TV programme that I was watching at the time. They said, there's something there. It could be a shoal of fish. It could be anything. But there's something that's picking it up. And it is literally, like you say, following the boat across. And then it dives to a different depth.
Yeah.
Depth, not height.
Depth.
Depth. and it sort of continued and then just literally disappeared from their instruments.
Well, wonder no more, pirate, because a year later, in April 2012, National Oceanography Centre said that the image was a bloom of algae and zooplankton.
Right.
So they did kind of debunk that one.
I mean, yeah, fair enough. It looked a lot more exciting on the TV.
It did, yeah. I've seen the image. I know the one you mean, and it does actually look pretty cool. It actually does look like a flipper and stuff like that, but... Yeah, unfortunately, it's algae and zooplankton.
Oh, well.
But, so, now, that brings us up to kind of 2011. That's like present day.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kind of go back on some of the evidence that I've already
Oh, we're going back over these things?
Kind of, in a way. It was just kind of like some footnotes that I've taken of like little tidbits and stuff. So
okay.
In 1934, on 13th of July, from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., for 5 weeks, 20 men positioned themselves around the lock with binoculars and cameras. 21 photos were taken, none conclusive. National history concluded it was possibly a grey seal.
Another seal?
Another seal.
So they did actually, obviously, 20 men, all armed with a camera, and they took 21 photos.
Yep. But none of them were conclusive, but they just say...
Was that 21 successful photos of the monster?
Yeah, so the whole time they were there for 5 weeks, only 21 of them photos captured something,
but they weren't sure what, and they're putting it down to a seal.
Yeah, because they're obviously not just going to stand there just taking several photos of nothing. So whenever something popped up or appeared or the ripple in the water, that's when they took pictures. Only 21 of them were clear. And they just put it down to a grey seal.
Fair enough.
Again,
okay.
They're not too sure. Possibly, they just say that the only explanation is, it's a grey seal.
Are you sure it was a grey seal and not a navy seal? You know, doing the old front crawl so the arm comes up in the air, makes it look a bit more like a...
Oh, yeah, that would be...
Loch Ness Monster.
That'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? So, there was also... the Loch Ness Phenomenon Investigation Bureau, which opened up between 1962 and 1972.
I'm amazed that's even a thing.
It was a thing for 10 years. They didn't really find much,
so
they closed down after 10 years.
No. Well,
like I said, these are just little tidbits that I found really interesting.
Yeah, well, I guess in some ways, all my life with the Loch Ness Monster, I've heard that there's underwater caverns that can lead to other locks and out to sea and stuff. And that's why the explanation has been there that the Loch Ness Monster, sometimes there's evidence for it and sometimes it just looks like an empty lake, you know, even with the sonar.
Oh, that'd be
so
cool.
So it could be. And even in that film, I know this is fiction, but the Ted Danson film, Loch Ness Monster, I think... He went underwater and found like an entrance to a cave or something, and that's where he actually came face to face with the Loch Ness Monster. Well, I think it is genuinely believed that there are like underwater tunnels and stuff that lead in and out of the loch. I mean, the River Ness leads out of the loch as well. It is quite a big river.
Yeah.
There are ways for it to sort of get about and get in and out of there.
And if the loch is as big as you say and as deep as you say, adding those caves and stuff, it's just even bigger.
Yeah.
Who knows? Anything can come in there. All the seals. So, I don't know if this is really worth mentioning, but Operation Deep Scan in 1987, they had 24 boats with equipment of echo sound.
Yeah.
But again, they didn't really pick anything up.
No, they lined them all up across the lock, didn't they? And sort of went as a line of boats going up there so that nothing could slip past... Oh, sorry, that's my fault with the microphone. Nothing could slip around the side of them and escape. So they lined them all up side by side and went up the lock, and then they just said, no, there's nothing there.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying earlier. It's really weird how between like 1960 and early 2000s, they didn't really produce any new evidence. And that was 1987. So that was right in the middle. And they just didn't really get anything there. So I'm going to actually save that bit to the end.
Okay.
Don't make it that bit. Now, obviously, I was going to play a game with you of Nessie or not, but it's just...
It's an otter. It's a seal.
Exactly.
It's a grey seal. It's a navy seal.
That's what it would have ended up being. So I was like, I'm not going to play that game. I was like, oh.
It's a drunk Scotsman.
What do you reckon, pirate? Could it have been a shark? No, there's no point. Drunk Scotsman doing the front crawl. Singing cheers. Oh, everyone knows my name. the one that I always knew growing up, that I always thought the Loch Ness Monster was a plesiosaur.
A plesiosaur?
Plesiosaur. Plesiosaur. Yeah.
Yeah.
Spell P-L-E-S-I-O, saw.
Yeah. Looks like a brontosaurus, but with fins rather than legs.
Yeah, that's
the one.
The one. And there was a big conspiracy that I always believed this growing up, that it was just frozen in ice at the bottom of Loch Ness. And millions of years have gone past, and then it defrosted and was alive.
At the bottom of a lake.
At the bottom of
right,
a lake.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so a plethiosaur is a long-necked aquatic reptile that became extinct during the Cretaceous...
Cretaceous period, yeah.
Paleogene extinction event. Nailed it.
Nice.
But that was always the conspiracy that I knew growing up, and some other people might have heard.
That's 65 million years ago.
Yeah. But, you know, when you're a kid, you just think dinosaurs. Everyone's into dinosaurs.
Been
still.
Frozen for 65 million years. Suddenly, 500 AD, it thaws out and starts wreaking havoc across the loch.
Yeah. Basically. But obviously it's...
Sounds legit.
Yeah. Now, do you remember, the name I said to remember was George Spicer.
Spicer, yes, it was.
Now, he comes into it because we're going to go over a quick history of the name of the Loch Ness Monster, the origin of the name.
Okay. But, the Loch Ness Monster
yeah.
is fairly self-explanatory, isn't it? Or do you mean Nessie?
No, I'll come to Nessie.
Oh, okay.
You get out of my head.
Sorry.
You do this every podcast. You're always one step ahead of me. Even when I do the research and you don't do the research, you always manage to stay one step ahead of me. And I'm sick of it, pirate.
I'm sorry.
So, no, it just shows how...
I'll go back to being in a band.
It just shows how in tune you are with, like, things going on and stuff. It's quite remarkable, to be fair. But I'll get to that bit. So at the moment, the Loch Ness Monster. Now, George Spicer, who wrote the article, he was the guy who thought it was a dragon crossed out into the road in front of him and his wife in a car. That was the guy.
Well, is this the article in the Daily Mail, did you say?
No, that was a different article.
Oh, no, yeah. No, that was Daily Mail they were getting back at with the photo, weren't they?
Yes.
That's it. Yeah,
but
sorry.
This guy was just one of many names who just... went to journalists and they just done several articles between 33 and 34.
Okay.
They just done so many different articles and his name was just mentioned as a guy that done the article.
Okay.
But
yeah.
For some reason, his article stuck with people. I don't know if it was presented or worded in a way to other articles, but people stuck with it and they really enjoyed the article about George Spicer and his sighting of Nessie. So the name actually comes from people writing in of their sightings, their stories,
right.
Writing into the newspaper, into the Daily Mail, into other newspapers. And the general population and the residents and all these people writing in actually just, they started just calling it the Loch Ness Monster. So it just fabricated.
Was it like the headline, the Loch Ness Monster found in a lake around Inverness?
Yeah, kind of. So it was literally just the people kind of chose the name for the Loch Ness Monster.
Right, okay.
And it didn't actually become Nessie until 1940.
Oh, right, okay.
So a few years later.
Yeah.
And when I looked at the research of it, most of the research told me that the reason it changed to Nessie, and as we know the nickname Nessie...
Yeah.
Was because the residents and the local people in Scotland wanted to kind of attract tourism and things, but they didn't want it to be this big, scary thing. They wanted it to include
ages
and generations.
The name slipped to something that was a little bit more homely, a little bit more welcoming.
Yeah.
Rather than the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
Fear me. No, I'm Nessie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So... I mean, still to this day, I don't really know if Nessie has been established as male or female, but Nessie to me sounds more female.
Well, in my opinion, if Nessie is real, the Loch Ness Monster is real, there would have to be a population of it. It can't just be one monster that's been alive for 1,500 years, right? Because, you know, even turtles don't live that long.
Yeah.
So there's got to be more than one of them, and they've got to be like a breeding family or, you know, some kind of population there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be both, and male and female. There's got to be a male and a female.
Yeah, that's very true. bit like the whole.
Although Nessie thing. Does sound more feminine.
It does, yeah. But that's pretty much why it turned to Nessie. They just wanted to make it more lovable and include all age ranges and not make it as scary for kids. And yeah. Like, oh, come on down to the lock. And that was a terrible idea. Like, I'm not doing it again. So that was it. That was Nessie. Now, a quick side note. You actually mentioned this to me. So Nessie actually is a protected species as of 2001 under the Scottish Protection Laws.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought pretty cool.
Now, it is. That is cool because, like I say, if the Loch Ness Monster is real, as I said, there would have to be a population, but that would be a very small population, which would make it an endangered species. Mm-hmm. So it's right for them to give it protection if it is real.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I read as well that Nessie is technically a Scottish resident. As well, yeah. They made it a Scottish resident.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can never dig on Nessie. It lives there. So I thought that was quite cool. Now, I'm about to blow your mind.
Cool. Go for it.
I'm about to blow your socks off, mate.
Go on. Tell me something I don't
know
about Nessie.
I don't think a lot of people are going to know this.
Oh.
I think I've
cracked it. I'm actually genuinely intrigued now.
I've cracked the case of Nessie, mate. Really? I can tell you. Exactly what Nessie is. Well, for legal reasons, allegedly what Nessie is.
it's folklore.
It is folklore. But let me take you to 2018, my friend.
Ooh, not long ago.
They done a DNA survey. They tested the waters. They tested the plankton. They tested the algae. They tested the land surrounding the loch. They done DNA testing. All over that place. If it was a crime scene, mate, they covered it. They'd done it. It was revealed there was no shark DNA. There was no large fish DNA.
Was there plesiosaur DNA?
There was no plesiosaur DNA. There was no seal DNA.
No seals?
No. But what they did find, my friend, was a lot of eel DNA.
Eels. Well, yeah, okay.
Now, listen to this bad boy. This little tidbit of information, my friend. I researched this because I thought, an eel? You're telling me Nessie is an eel? Listen to this, my friend.
Well, I think this is a good, plausible possibility.
This is a very good theory. Now, I researched the lifespan of eels. An American eel only lives between 5 and 20 years.
Right.
But European eels in a smaller location or like a, what do you call it, like an environment.
An enclosed environment
can live up to over 80 years. Think about that. Definitely. These sightings in 1933, and they've been going for the last 60, 70, 80 years, an eel would still be alive.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. And there would be a population of them.
A population.
They're very rarely sighted, usually around thunderstorms.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is even crazier as well. When they spoke to a DNA expert, scientist type person, and they proposed the theory of an eel, a lot of people would say, well, eels don't get that big.
Oh, they can.
They can, my friend. And he said it is not, well, it is possible for eels to grow in extreme size due to the environment that they're in. Like that theory of a goldfish in a bowl. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
to the size.
Oh.
So it is possible that the eel is the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I can't remember the name of the eel or fish or whatever. There is a type of sort of eely looking fish or eel that lives very deep in the oceans. Now, mm-hmm. Deep in the oceans, you get this thing called ocean gigantism, which we're not entirely sure how it works. But the deeper you go in the oceans, things grow bigger than they sort of should do. Also, in Arctic environments, very cold environments, you get this gigantism happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can imagine that some of these eels literally do grow as long as 20 meters, like people have described.
Yep.
There's even photos of people, like a line of men holding an eel that's like across going across 20 of them or 10 of them or something like that. Yeah. You know, the things are like 14 metres long.
Yeah.
And something like that, if we were to go back to the theory of the underwater caverns mm-hmm. leading out to the ocean and to other rivers and estuaries, it's quite plausible that some deep water eel from out in the ocean find a nice home in the cold waters of a Scottish loch.
Yep.
Coming through a subterranean channel.
Yeah. And when you think about the shape of an eel, it can create humps
yeah.
on the back.
Yeah.
Long neck, small head.
These large eels and stuff were reported as sea monsters back yeah. in the Middle Ages, you know, back in the times of pirates and nautical sailors would come back with these stories of sea monsters. And quite often it was just, yeah, gigantic fish and eels that yeah. spooked them.
So that is my theory, is I think the Loch Ness Monster, or Nessie, is a giant eel that has lived for over 80 years.
Well, I think it's more likely to be a population of eels.
Yeah.
And like I say, yeah, because when I used to go fishing with a friend of mine, he was quite interested in having a go at eel fishing, and he said after a thunderstorm, you're more likely to see them. You know, they'll come sort of closer to the surface and stuff. Eels are very elusive normally.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, at times when there are meteorological changes going on in the atmosphere, the eels will surface. And so that maybe is why it's such a rare thing that it's sighted. A
bit like worms when it rains.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like that, yeah.
Come up to the surface.
Yeah.
So, but that is what I've got on the Loch Ness Monster. So it might be an eel, it might be a seal, who knows?
It's not a seal because there's no DNA, is there?
I know, but I'd like to leave a bit of mystery.
Well, we're going to have to put this to the paranormality rating.
Mm.
Now, giving it an identity like an eel, for me that doesn't necessarily reduce its paranormality rating because it's got to be something, doesn't it? All right, and I don't think a 65-million-year-old plesiosaur is feasible.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. I know that is the classic image, and you know, the fake photo that the surgeon took and stuff looks like a plesiosaur, mm-hmm. but it was a hoax image. And when people see the Loch Ness Monster, or you see video footage of it, it's normally just something breaking the surface, not making humps,
yeah,
or sticking, rearing its head out of the water and stuff. It's usually just on the surface, swimming about, making a few waves and ripples and stuff. So, as an eel explanation, that's really good one.
Yeah,
and it does for me give you that feeling that yeah, there is a Nessie, there is a Loch Ness mm-hmm. Monster. All right, it may not be what everybody hopes or thinks it is.
Yeah.
But you know,
that's a really good point, man. I actually agree with you there.
You know what I mean?
It doesn't debunk it enough for me to go, oh, what a load of rubbish. It, like you just said, it's like, oh, that's
it
cool.
It kind of adds yeah. to it.
So there is actually something that has been there for all these years.
And yeah, and if it grew to a sufficient size,
yeah,
and you were walking around in 500 AD or even 1933 and you saw some 20-metre eel swimming alongside you as you was driving your car around the shores of Loch Ness, you would yeah. think, bloody hell, it's a monster.
Yeah, and it also goes in with what George Spicer said, where he thought it was a dragon. Eels and dragons kind yeah. of same body type. And
definitely its face shape, the head shape of eels, like moray eels and stuff, they look very dragon-like.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, so what are you giving it then, mate? What are you thinking?
Oh, I'd like to give it about a 7.5.
7.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's fair.
Even if you were disheartened by it being an eel, the myth of the Loch Ness Monster has been around for so long, even so much longer than I even thought.
Yeah, yeah.
As you say, 6th century. I mean, that's a legend that's been going for a long time.
Yeah.
And for there to be some kind of scientific evidence to actually point us in a direction at what it could actually be, mm-hmm. that's great.
Yeah.
That's brilliant as far as I'm concerned, you know. It doesn't have to be a mythical creature. It doesn't have to be a legless unicorn or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going about 7.5.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think because it's such history, and it's a legend. Everybody knows about the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, absolutely.
You've got to give it respect. So even though a lot of the evidence was kind of debunked or some of it was a hoax, but, you know, we bring it full circle to the fact that there is science and there could be any. I'm going to go.
You're going to go 8.2.
You know what? I was going to give it a solid 8. But I will give it an 8.2 because I thoroughly enjoyed researching this, and it made me love the Loch Ness Monster and Nessie even more, to the point where I used to have Bigfoot as my top kind of mythical beast,
right,
legend, folklore. Nessie has overtaken Bigfoot. I love Nessie now. So I'm going to give it, you know what, 8.4.
Oh,
I said it, 8.4. So now you can work out that average.
7.95.
There you go. That'll do. 7.95. I'm happy with that. So, yeah, that is Nessie, mate.
In fact, I'm going to 7.6 and we'll round it at 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Nessie deserves it. I'm happy with that.
That's cool. Yeah, well done, mate. That was very interesting, to be honest. Even, you know, I'm in awe of that. That was a really good, well-researched episode. And yeah. I love the way that you've actually pulled it together at the end and actually come up with a plausible explanation for what Nessie could be. And it doesn't ruin the legend.
Yeah. Yeah. And we also didn't ruin it by doing it all in a Scottish accent.
No. So. We probably did overdo the Scottish accent. I issue a formal apology to Scotland for trying to do your accent and failing.
I am not going to apologise because I have Scottish roots and Scottish family, and it's funny. Why not? Give it a go. It's not offensive to do accents. No, not really. So there we go, mate.
Right, well, thank you for joining us, everybody. We'll be back next week with another exciting episode. If you've got your own stories about Nessie, please feel free to write to us at paranormality.uk@gmail.com or leave a comment in the comment section on YouTube or wherever you can leave a comment section. We always like to hear your feedback, and we love more reviews and that sort of thing. And hopefully we'll see you right back here next week. Until then, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta!
Hey, guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
Did you know that 2 out of 3 listeners say podcasts are the best way to learn about the things they care about most? That makes podcasts the perfect place to introduce your brand, where ads are more relevant and trusted than any other media channel. Want to learn more? Download the full Podcast Pulse 2024 report now at podcastpulse2024.acast.com and see how you can make your brand part of the conversation.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.